وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في الكلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر، ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر، تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر، سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر، صدق الله العظيم.
Respected brothers, this is the night, or we cannot say definitely that this is the night, but this verse of the Holy Quran which I have recited, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the night of Qadr, the night of power, the night of majesty, the night of great blessing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, a day before the month of Ramadan commenced, he addressed the people and he told them, قَدْ أَزَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ شَهْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ شَهْرٌ فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Verily a month has dawned over you, a very great month. In it is a night which is better than 1,000 months. Allah in this verse also says, "Inna أَنْزَلْنَاهُ, verily we revealed it, that is the Holy Quran, in the night of majesty. Layla fi laylatul qadr. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ, and what can really show you that what Laylatul Qadr is? How can we really convey to you in words that what is this blessed night all about? How can we really express that this great night is a night of such great blessing? وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ, how can you really know what this night of Qadr is all about? So Allah comes down to earth to our level, and he says, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr, because we understand what years are like, and what months of the year are like, and what hours of the day are like. So Allah Ta'ala talks in our language, and he says that it is better than 1,000 months of ibadat. Better than 1,000. How much better? Allah Ta'ala does not put any restriction on it. And when Allah the greatest, in whose hands is the treasures of everything, if he says that it is better then we can just imagine how much better it could be. So it is better than 1,000 months. Optional ibadat, nafil ibadat, which a person would have undertaken in 1,000 months of his life, that means approximately 83 years and 4 months, Allah Ta'ala gives it to him if he is able to stay awake in this one night, which is termed as Laylatul Qadr. And then Allah says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ, the angels descend, and also the spirit, the ruh. This ruh, we will come to it just now, what is it referring to, but تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا, in it, بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ, with the permission of Allah, on every errand they come down. And then this peace in this night, حَتَّى مَطْلِعَ الْفَجْرِ, until the break of dawn, it is a night of peace, the whole moment of peace. Hiya hatta matla al fajr. So this Laylatul Qadr, you have already heard in the talks that we were having prior to the Isha prayers and after that, some of the significance of this great night, blessed night. Therefore I will not go into much details, but a few points to show us that we should not let the few nights that we have go by without ibadat, without zikr, without remembrance of Allah, without seeking Allah's forgiveness and pleasure. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in one of the hadiths it is reported that he has said, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that in the month of Ramadan is Laylatul Qadr, and it is better than 1,000 months. Only that person is deprived, whoever is deprived of the blessings of Allah on this night, he is indeed deprived of all good. And then he says that only that person is deprived of all good, the person who is most unfortunate. The person who is most unfortunate, he is the only one that will be deprived of all good. and especially not being able to get this blessed night of Laylat of Qadr. So let us look at a few of the hadiths as to when is this night. As far as this night is concerned, it is reported that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to think of the ummats of the past. We know that Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, for 900 years he preached to the people. So for 900 years of preaching, how much of sawab and how much of blessing and how much of reward he must have got. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to ponder about the lives of all these past ummats, and he used to become very grieved and concerned for us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's greatest concern and grief was for the ummah. Unfortunately, our greatest concern is for ourselves, and the least concern we have is for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and the least concern we have is for the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and the least concern we have is for that beautiful tariqah, way of life and pattern of life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's greatest concern was, how can this ummah of mine save themselves from the fire of hell and go into Jannat and enjoy everlasting peace, everlasting happiness, and how on this earth also they may get peace of mind, they may get contentment of their hearts and their souls, and how their desires Allah Ta'ala may fulfill even on this earth and in this worldly sojourn of this. That was his concern. So he used to become very concerned that our ummah, my ummah, their short span of life, they will not be able to compete with these people of the past. And this competition that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was concerned about was not the competition in worldly and material things. That competition is there. Nobody requires any encouragement to go and compete in the accumulation of worldly and material things. There, even if you don't tell a person, it is his natural instinct and desire to accumulate and to get the worldly riches, and as a result he will compete. The real competition that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was concerned about was the competition in the accumulation of good deeds, the competition in the accumulation of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in getting the forgiveness and the mercy and the rahmat of Allah, and in being able to live on this earth in such a way that each Muslim vies and competes with the other in doing more and more good towards the family, towards the society, and towards mankind in general, irrespective of what race they belong to and what nation and what tribe they belong to. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was just not for the Muslims alone. His message was for humanity at large. It was a universal message. So this was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's concern. But looking at the short span of life, he knew that my ummah will not be able to get that. So in this concern, Allah Ta'ala revealed these verses of the Holy Quran, that you do not have to be grieved. For your ummah, we are giving them a night. If they are able to stay awake in this one night, in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat, in my remembrance, then I will give them that same reward that the other ummah people would have got in more than 1,000 months of ibadat and more than 1,000 months of worship. There is also mentioned that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was referring to the four prophets of the past, Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salam, Hazrat Yosha, and Hazrat Iskail. And he said that these Nabis of Allah, more than 1,000 months of their lives were spent in such a manner that they did not sin for a single moment, and they were engaged in jihad, and they were engaged in the propagation of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that we will also give you your ummah a night in which, if they stay awake, they can get that same reward and that same sawab. So this night that we have been blessed with was on account of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's great concern for you and I, that somehow we must become successful in this life of ours. As for this night, one of the Sahabis asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Zar, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this Laylatul Qadr now that which we have got only during our time, or as long as you are living, and after you leave this world, then this Laylatul Qadr will also go with you, or will this Laylatul Qadr remain with us? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, no, Laylatul Qadr will be till the day of Qiyamah. So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if that is the case, then when is going to be this Laylatul Qadr? When is this Laylatul Qadr? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, search for it in the first 10 nights and the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala says that after that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam became engaged in some other activity, and I found an opportunity after a little while to ask him again, and I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in which part of that 10 days is Laylatul Qadr? Which part of Ramadan? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam became very annoyed, and he said, if it had been the object of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it known to you, he would have made it known to you. Would he not have made it known to me if it was his object? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, well, search for it in the last 7 nights and ask no more. Which meant either the 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th. In these nights we should search for it.
Or as some other hadiths, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that search for it in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, that's from the 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th, etc. There are more than 50 different versions available in the hadiths of when this Laylatul Qadr is. From all these points taken into consideration, to reconcile all these hadiths, we come to the conclusion that there is no fixed night as far as Laylatul Qadr is concerned. It rotates. This year it could have been on the 25th, it might be tonight, it could be on the 29th, we don't know. In the same way, last year it could have been on one of the other odd nights, but the general consensus of opinion is that it is in one of the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and that to a large majority of ulama, awliya-i-kiram and sahabas also, they have been of this opinion that it is on the 27th night. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala, he once mentioned, he said that whoever stays awake every night of the year, he will definitely get Laylatul Qadr. So when Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala was informed about this, he said, yes, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud's desire and wish is that you stay awake during the rest of the year also in ibadat, in zikr, tilawat, so that you will get this night Laylatul Qadr. But I can swear and say that it is on the 27th night. So when this was reported, a discussion took place, and it said that it was possible that Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw Laylatul Qadr, or he felt and he experienced Laylatul Qadr, and it was the 27th night. Many Sahabis, they experienced Laylatul Qadr on the 27th night. Many Awliya-i-Kiram experienced it on the 21st night. Some of them experienced it on the 23rd night. Once Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was having a discussion, and the Sahabas asked him that when is Laylatul Qadr? So he asked them, what is the day today? They said 22nd of Ramadan. He said, well, the night which follows today is Laylatul Qadr. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam might have experienced that tonight is Laylatul Qadr. But in any case, if we have missed the 21st, 23rd and the 25th, taking into consideration all the opinions of these great ulamas, awliya-i-kiram, solahas and sahabas, most of them who are of the opinion that it is the 27th night, if we engage ourselves in ibadat, in zikr, tilawat, repenting for our past sins and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and making a firm pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are not going to commit the sins in future, and we are going to reform ourselves, we are going to change our way of life, we will come back to the Quran, we will come back to the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then inshallah this 27th night could be Laylatul Qadr for us. So there are so many hadiths as far as Laylatul Qadr is concerned, but some of the important aspect or the major point is that what is this Laylatul Qadr for? So we can see that it is for ibadat. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if I get Laylatul Qadr, if I find myself in Laylatul Qadr, then what must I do? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told her that make dua. Which dua I must make, she asked. He said, make the dua, Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul af, fa'fu anni ya ghafoor. In this dua, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teaches Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afa fa'fu anna. O Allah, you are most forgiving and you love to forgive. So forgive me or forgive us. So it means that this night Allah ta'ala has given is to seek the forgiveness of Allah for our sins. You and I, we all have our shortcomings, we all have our weaknesses, we are human beings. Allah ta'ala knew that these human beings will fall, will have faults, will have shortcomings, they will slip. And therefore Allah gave us the month of Ramadan, gave us the night of Qadr, gave us the night of Bara'at, gave us the days of Muharram, Yawm Ashura, and various other important days, and especially the Jummah day every week of the month. On these days Allah Ta'ala has kept certain hours and certain minutes or certain seconds in those days when du'as are most accepted. But you and I also have to make some effort. If Allah Ta'ala had said, well, Laylatul Qadr is on a certain night exactly, we would have waited for that particular night and no other night in the year. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came out once to inform the Sahabas when is Laylatul Qadr. When he came outside, there was a quarrel carrying on between two Muslims. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, I came out to inform you when is Laylatul Qadr. But because of this quarrel and this argument which was taking place, the fixing of this date was removed. Now search for it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, now search for it in the odd nights. And he said, it might be better for you. It might be better for you. The reason is that if the night had been fixed, and then despite knowing that it is Shab-e-Qadr, if we had engaged in our sinful way of life, then we can rest assured that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have been displeased to such an extent that we know what happened to the nations of the past when knowing fully well that it is a day of mercy or it is a night of mercy, and when they've transgressed, then Allah's wrath and anger descended on such nations and they were destroyed in various forms. So this removing of the fixing of this night was a blessing. There are so many other hadiths which point toward the significance of this night, but I'm not going into the details. One of the greatest things that occurred in this night is, as Allah Ta'ala says, He revealed the Holy Quran in this night. In this night of Qadr, the Holy Quran was revealed. And I will say a few things about the Quran. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, before we go to the Quran, one important point of Shab-e Qadr is about Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam's descent. That ruh that I was referring to, what Allah Ta'ala says, the consensus is that it is referring to Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi ghawse azam, he says in his kitab, and he quotes the hadith that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said, that on the night of Qadr, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descends with a band of angels, first of all onto the Holy Kaaba, and there they plant a green flag. And after that, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam instructs all the other angels to disperse all over the earth. There are thousands and thousands in number. Allah's angels, we do not see them, but as I mentioned on the Shab-e Barat, that if we do not see a thing, it does not mean that it does not exist. We have so many examples of things that we do not see, but yet they are existing. If a person has to give somebody a tight punch and then says, and the person complains that I am feeling the pain, so they say, where is the pain? Show it to me. The person can't show the pain, but he's feeling the pain. So in the same way, there are lots of things we can't show, but it is there. So the angels of Allah, we have to accept the word of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because our iman is whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, even if it does not appeal to our senses and our understanding, we must still accept it and say, amanna wa saddaqna. Because in the first place, our intellect is so limited that we cannot see beyond we cannot think beyond a certain limit. There are many things in this world which don't appeal to our senses. Like one person I was talking with, and he said, well, this Maulana doesn't appeal. I said, yes, surely it doesn't make sense, because you haven't got that faith in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying. Otherwise, there are so many examples of things which don't appeal to my sense also. But yet we obey the law of Allah, we obey the law. I told him, I say, if I have to drive down Brickfield Road and come to the corner intersection where Sparks Road is, Sparks Road and Brickfield Road corner, and I can see quite clearly on my right that there's no vehicle coming. I can see quite clearly from that corner on my left that there's no cars coming. But the robo is red. So even if that robo is red for 3 minutes, I will stay there and I will wait. Yet my intellect and my common sense tells me that if there's no car coming from the right and no car coming from the left, then why must I wait for 3 minutes? I should go ahead, because I'm satisfied there's no cars coming. But why do we stop? It doesn't make sense. But there is some wisdom in it, which those who have formulated the law, they know that if we are going to leave it open like that, then people will keep driving through and they will end up with accidents. So as a result, they have said that even if no cars are passing by, you must stop. And we obey that law, because we know if we are not going to obey that law, then what happens? So here, if we can obey the laws of the government in matters which don't make much sense to us, then why can't we obey the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which there is definitely great wisdom? Whose laws can have more wisdom than the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But sometimes we cannot understand it. It is our own weakness. We must not blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. So here, if we do not see the angels, we must not say, where did we were sitting around the Kaaba, we didn't see any time angels coming there. Yes, we haven't developed that sight to see the angels. Otherwise, the Sahaba ikram, they had elevated their spiritual selves to such an extent that one Sahabi says, when he was reciting the Holy Quran, he could actually see a cloud over him of complete light and nur. And when he informed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam of that, he told him that those were the angels of Allah who had come to listen to you reciting the Holy Quran. If you had continued your recitation, they might have come down and shook hands with you, and the other sahabas would have seen them too. There are many things like that, that we cannot see it because our hearts, our minds, our thoughts are filled with such impurities that we cannot go beyond a certain limit. But these people, they cleanse themselves. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one of his duties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes is yatlu alayhimul wa yuzakkihim wa yuallimuhumul kitab wal hikmah. One of it is wa yuzakkihim, and you cleanse them. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had cleansed them to such an extent of the impurities and the filth of the heart, of the diseases of the heart, that their hearts had become like a shining mirror in which they could see so many things which you and I cannot see with our eyes. So this we must accept, that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that they come and they descend there, And then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam tells them that spread out on the earth. So they spread out on the earth. Yusalluna ala. And then they go and pray and they make dua, or they pray for the blessings of Allah, or for every person who is engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yazkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan. The person, whether he is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a standing position, that is, he's making namaz, or he's sitting and reading the Quran, or he's making the zikr, or he's making the tilawat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's angels descend, they go and shake hands with them, they make dua with them. Now we say that we engaged in a lot of zikr and a lot of dua and Shab-e Qadr, but no angels we saw shaking hands with us. Yes, we do not see them, but those, as I said, have got some spiritual cleanliness in their hearts, then they will feel it. There's a sense you have, you can feel it, that when you are making dua, you suddenly feel a sort of ecstasy. You are overtaken, you have a sensational feeling that that's as if there is somebody that is with you, and you begin to tear, you begin to cry, and you begin to ask Allah for His forgiveness and mercy in a manner that you never asked before. So this is a feeling you experience. We must try to experience it. We have to stay awake at night to experience it. If after Isha namaz we go and sleep and get a Fajr time, we won't experience it. So we have to experience it after making a little bit of effort. So this is what they do. But then there are four warnings there, that they go to all these homes and they enter and they pray for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on all these people engaged in the zikr of Allah, qa'iman aw qa'idan, standing or in sitting position. But in four homes they do not enter. The home of a person who is a habitual drinker. When we are talking about intoxicants and things which are prohibited by Allah as far as liquor, alcohol, wine, etc. is concerned, I mentioned to you there quite clearly that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that the curse of Allah is on the person who makes the liquor or alcohol, the person who distributes it, the person who writes the contracts, the person who sells it, all these people that are involved, the stewards. Allah's curse is on all of them. And when one sahabi, before the ayat of hurmat and prohibition was revealed, he was bringing the barrels of alcohol or liquor from Khaybar, and when he had just reached the outskirts of Medina, he heard that the alcohol is now prohibited. So he parked his caravan same place and he went to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he inquired. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, it is now prohibited. So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallam, can I return it to those people from whom I have purchased it? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, no. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallam, can I give it to them as gift to those non-Muslim friends of mine? He said, no, you cannot give it as gift also. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallam, there are some orphan children who have also had a share in this dealing and in this business of mine. Rasulullah sallam told them that just wait, when some things come for us in the Baitul Mal, then from there I will give it to you, which you can give it to the orphan children, what their share was, but all this has to be destroyed. So he went and opened up all those barrels and alcohol flowed there as if it had just rained. This was the iman of the Sahaba Ikram. So all this prohibition of alcohol and liquor, there was great wisdom in it. Many of us, we hear incidents where some of us think that we don't drink it, but what is wrong if we give it as a gift on a Christmas occasion to our non-Muslim clients and friends and our non-Muslim buyers and customers, or those people who are in high post and position? We try to please them with bottles of alcohol and wine and brandy and we think we have done a great thing. Brothers, we should take care. We are destroying our own iman and faith. We must tell them straight that our Islam prohibits us and forbids us giving you any alcohol or brandy or wine, and therefore we will give you gift of something else but not this. That is our iman. We must be firm in our iman. We must not try to compromise with any other religion as far as our iman is concerned. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that these angels don't enter such a home, unless of course if that person sincerely repents. The second category that is mentioned here are those people who are disobedient to their parents. The same category was mentioned also in the night of Barat, and I gave you much detail about our duties, rights and obligations towards our parents, and how Shariat has tried to maintain a harmonious balance. The rights of the children have also been taken into consideration, and the rights of the parents also. It's not a one-way job and it's not a one-track affair, that the parents only demand their rights but they do not want to fulfill the rights of their children. It is a balanced affair in Islam. Then the third point that is mentioned here is they don't enter that home in which a person ghusl has become farz on him due to adultery or fornication. Surely, I mean, in this blessed night, a night in which a person should be engaged in ibadat and in zikr and in tilawat, in asking forgiveness from Allah for his sins, even if he was engaged in fornication and adultery for the rest of his life, But at least he knows that now is the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and it is the ideal opportunity for me to make sincere tawbah and go and tell that girlfriend or whoever she is that this is the end of our affair and our relationship. I am a Muslim and I am prohibited to commit any adultery and fornication, and irrespective of whatever association we may have had, but that is the end of our affair because I have repented, I have asked my Allah for my forgiveness. How many of us have that courage to do this thing? If we haven't got that courage, then brothers, we can keep raising our hands and making tawbah and istighfar. That is just lip service. It will not give us any, it will not bless us in any way. So we must repent. There must be a change in our life. If we had 100 shortcomings in our life over the past year, then the Ramadan that follows, we must reduce it at least 50%. If not much, at least 50% must reduce. We must take stock of our lives that what have I made a change? If I was carrying on some illicit relationship with some woman in the past, have I given it up or not after the passing of the whole 12 months? If not, then another Ramadan has come, and at least now we must make up our mind to give it up altogether. Why I am telling you this, brothers, is that many of my friends come to me and I pity them. It's not that I look down upon them. I pity them that unfortunately this person, Allah, he hasn't got that willpower to give the sins up. And they come and tell you that, Maulana, I had this affair for the last 4 years and 5 years and 6 years, and then two or three children were born, and now this child is not a Muslim and that child is a Muslim, and please try and tell me what to do now. So it means that for years and years this sort of association carries on and on. Yet Ramadan upon Ramadan we raise our hands and we say, Ya Allah, forgive me, forgive me. So that forgiveness will only come if we make a firm pledge to Allah that, Ya Allah, tonight I make sincere tawbah that I'm not going to commit the sins again. Yes, after that, accidentally, a person is a human being, by temptation somehow he fell into the trap again and he committed a sin, then again he repents and makes tawbah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. But just to make tawbah and have nothing at heart to give it up, that is not tawbah. In fact, it is said, it is zambum mina zunub, that it is a sin from amongst the sins, that you raise your hands and make tawbah, but in your heart and in your mind you haven't got any intention of giving up that sin, then it is not tawbah, but it is a sin amongst sins. And Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi has said this, that this is a sin amongst sin. Now we must just imagine, are we making tawbah or are we making sin upon sin by making tawbah? So this is one point that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned, that these angels do not enter these homes in which a person who has committed adultery or fornication and ghusl has become farz on him, he is residing. Then the fourth category that has been mentioned here are those people who display the tasawir, or in the present times we can call it photography of animate objects, whether human beings or animals. Those who display these type of photographs in their homes or in their businesses, etc., and they expect that the angels of rahmat will come in, then you can rest assured that if Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi has quoted this hadith and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said it, then if we have got love for Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and if we have got love for the awliya-i kiram as we claim, then this is true love, that we must give up this sin immediately. Because we can have sincere trust in their saying that these angels of rahmat are not going to enter these homes, and we can keep raising our hands and making tawbah and istighfar, and we are not going to be blessed, then we will say, Maulana, I don't know why I make dua upon dua, but nothing seems to be getting accepted. So why it's not getting accepted, look into the hadith. Today, it has become even a crime to mention that this type of photography is prohibited. Because the ulama, the salaha, and everybody who claims to be pious and righteous, when a sin is committed by the good and the bad, remember this principle, that if any sin is committed by both the good and the bad, and it becomes in vogue, it becomes in general practice, then the seriousness of that crime leaves that ummah. Then the people don't regard that as sin anymore, and we are open to the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending on such a community, whether it is in the form of droughts, famine, floods, disasters by earthquake, or tornadoes, or whatever we may term as, or gale force winds. All these things come when the good and the bad both become involved in these type of sins. So today it has become so difficult, because the moment you say that this is prohibited, they say, Maulana so and so in his masjid, in the presence of so many people, he posed for this photograph, how can you say that it is not jais? Brothers, those Maulanas are entitled to their own opinion. I am giving you the opinion of Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am giving you the opinion of Allah's Sahabas, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Sahaba ikram. I am giving you the opinion of Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, the greatest of all the awliya ikram, for whom we have the greatest love in our hearts. And if we do not want to accept their opinion, and we want to accept the opinions of those ulama who are of the latter times, who have become so influenced with modern society and modern environment that they feel ashamed and they feel scared to even say the truth. Brothers, even if we are involved in doing something wrong, It is the duty of the ulama to say the truth, irrespective of what his own condition is. But the truth must be told, irrespective of the fact whether he loses his job, or whether it is thrown out of that town, or whether it is thrown out of that country, but his job is to say the truth. It is indeed unfortunate that today we say that this is also committed, that in which function today, which conference, which seminar, which function today is free of this lanat that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited. We did not understand that this was lanat. We only said that it was prohibited because there was idol worship in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore the making of images and portraits was prohibited. Because nobody can prove one authentic photograph of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, not one authentic portrait of any Sahabi, not one authentic portrait of Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an. All these Sahaba-i-Kiram, greatest ones. And they were great portrait designers in those times. They were great artists in those times. And if they wanted to, they would have given us a complete picture of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And each and every one of us would have desired that we frame Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's picture in our home. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam knew the harm that it is going to cause to the ummah if he had permitted photography. Well, there was no photography at that time, but the making of images and etc. If he had permitted it, then the harm it would have caused, he knew very well. We did not know it, but today we have discovered the harm, that this photography started off in an innocent way. But today, which newspaper of ours is in a good condition to show it to our young daughters at home? Which magazine of ours is in a fit condition to be shown to our children at home? And which paper that we buy and we purchase in the market to read the news is in a suitable condition to bring home and display it in front of our young sisters and our young daughters and our mothers? It has become so difficult to purchase and bring them home, and if we bring it to, we feel ashamed ourselves that we must read it quickly and destroy it because we do not like these things to be in home. Obscenity has reached a limit, and it was on account of the same photography lanat which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited so long ago. He knew what it is going to lead to. I will give you one further thing. One day one person came to me and he says, "Mali sahab, my wife was walking in the street and she was walking with so and so, and I've got a photograph of her." Brothers, what do we know? That woman might have been innocently gone shopping. And here this lanat of photography, because it has destroyed the privacy of every person. I am walking in the street, if there's another woman that's going through to do her shopping, and if a photograph is taken, then that can be produced in the papers and people will say that, look, this person has got an affair with this woman. How simple it has become to destroy the private life of a person. How simple it has become to destroy the total harmony and peace which was in the family relationships. All that has been destroyed with this photography. And yet we say that, what is wrong with it? What is wrong with it? What is wrong with it? In Makkah Sharif they are doing it. In Madina Sharif they are doing it. Brothers, around the holy Kaaba they also cut your pockets. If you got some cash in your pocket and you are making tawaf, you must be careful. Because some hajis also go to make chori there. So we must be careful. So they cut your pockets there. Now must we say that because this takes place around the Kaaba, therefore it is also permissible for us? Because they commit theft there around the Kaaba, so we can also commit theft. What is wrong with that? Brothers, it's not that. What they are doing, if they are doing a wrong thing, it's wrong. We have to say that is wrong. What right they do, it is right. It might be unfortunate that those ulamas haven't got the power to stop the government from allowing and permitting all these things, but the wrong thing will remain wrong. Now today it has become extremely difficult to go to any engagement, to go to any wedding party, to go to any feast, to go to any conference or a seminar. And then when we object to it, then we will get clapping and jeering and laughing that these people are still orthodox. They are living in the olden days, the days of the camel. Yes, brothers, we are happy. You can give us a few more titles. I will still be satisfied. I won't care because, alhamdulillah, as I said, that I am not paid by any jamaat here. It is a voluntary service which I am rendering. And I am doing it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To reform my personal self, I convey this to you so that tomorrow if I personally pose for a photograph, you can come and tell me that, Maulana, you said that it is prohibited. Why are you doing it now? So it will keep me also safe. But remember at the same time that it is our duty that when we are in such conferences and places, what we do is we normally object and we convey our message to the chairman or whoever is doing it, that please photograph those people who are of the opinion that it's permissible and leave us out. After that, if they are doing it, it is their sin. We are not liable for it. But remember, brothers, a wrong cannot be made right just because thousands of good people are doing it. This was the point that I mentioned, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that these angels do not enter these homes in which images or in which things of pictures have been displayed of animate objects, whether they are animals or human beings, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam knew what it is going to lead to. One brother told me, he says, Maulana, in those days, because there was a lot of idol worship, that is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited it. I said, well, then what you are trying to tell me is that in these days idol worship has been totally destroyed and there's no more respect shown to any photographs. He says, those people used to respect these images, and this in these days we don't respect the images. I said, wonderful, you come with me, let us go to any home in which the picture of a grandfather or mother or auntie or somebody is displayed, and let us take a knife and smash it, or let us go and destroy that photograph and see if those people become annoyed or not. If they become annoyed, then why are they becoming annoyed? If they are not showing any respect to that photograph, then even if you throw it on the floor, there should be no respect to it. But it shows that these things, we are showing respect, we are valuing it, we are keeping it as remembrance for the progeny to follow. So if remembrance was such an important thing, the greatest remembrance would have been of our Sahaba-e-Kiram. Brothers, I always tell you, Sahaba-e-Kiram, I will relate a dream of mine to you. The great awliyas have related the dreams, great ambiyas have related the dreams, pious people have related dreams. So if a sinner like me relates a dream, it does not mean that I become a wali or something like that, but there is a lesson in it. That I have always told you from the beginning of the month that our disputes, our arguments, our problems, a solution to it lies in going back to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Sahaba-e-Kiram. How they conducted their affairs, if we are going to go to that pattern, then our disputes and arguments and all will end. I have been telling this to you repeatedly. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Summa Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala save us from any fakhar and any pride. But a few nights ago, I dreamt, it had always been my desire to see a Sahabi in my dream. A few nights ago, I dreamt of Hazrat Zayd ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala an, who was the Katib-e Wahi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. When Wahi used to come down, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to tell Hazrat Zayd ibn Sabit to write it down. Hazrat Zayd ibn Sabit was the one whom Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he told him that lots of hafizas have become shaheed. Lots of qaris have become shaheed. So why don't you gather all these things which have been written on palm trees, trunks, or on leather, or on paper, or whatever it was, on whichever thing they used to write. They said, get all these things and compile the Quran. Hazrat Zayd ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, it is very difficult for me to do that. It would have been easier for me if you told me move this mountain from here to there. But to do something which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not do, it is extremely difficult for me. And then again to compile the Quran. But they insisted and they put pressure on him, and they told Hazrat Zayd ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala an, that you are the most reliable person and everybody has got absolute confidence on you, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself had confidence on you and he told you to write down the wahi, and you used to write it down, so you will have to do it. And then of course he says, I also made istikhara and all that, and my mind was also inclined to compiling the Quran, and then I compiled the Quran. And then of course after that, in the time of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala an, and all that perfection took place later, but the beginning was in the time of Hazrat Zayd ibn Sabit. Hazrat Zayd ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala an, was the greatest mufti, the greatest qazi, and as far as the masail of inheritance are concerned, the people of Medina recognized him to be the greatest. He was only 11 years of age when he by-hearted the Quran 17 surahs. And also Hazrat Zayd ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala an, he, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him that these letters which I have to write to the Jews, I have to write in Ibrani, and therefore I have to use a Jewish person to write, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam should not write. So he says, why don't you learn the Ibrani language? So Hazrat Zayd ibn Sabit, in 15 days time, he learned the Ibrani language. From this it is proved that you can learn English, Afrikaans, Zulu, Dutch, any language, provided it is for good purposes. There's nothing wrong with the language, but we must not adopt the culture of that people who have got that language. So he learned it in 15 days. So after that, he used to write the letter for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and if some Jewish person wrote to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Hazrat Zayd used to read it. But we come back to it, that I dreamt that Hazrat Zayd ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to this Jamaat Khana of ours. And I'm introducing him to you, and I'm telling you that this is Hazrat Zayd ibn Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is an elderly sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and inshallah tonight he is going to perform 12 rakats of Taraweeh. Rest assured, brothers, I can't give you the description of what a wonderful feature he had, what a beautiful beard on his face, and there was so much of noor and light as he might have been. But the point is that he performed 12 rakats Taraweeh. There was no noise, there was complete silence. And after that I asked our Maulana Ahmad Umar that now you continue with the remaining 8, because he's an elderly person. But unfortunately, I don't know, Maulana got engaged in phoning some friends of his from here, that Hazrat Zayd ibn Sabit is here, you also come, or something like that, and my eyes opened. So the point I'm trying to raise is that if we talk of the Sahabas, we must remember our success
lies in going back to the Sahaba-i-Kiram. And I will go on telling you that even if I am doing wrong, I know I am a very weak person and a great sinner, but our success depends on as the Sahabas practiced from and learned from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So therefore this lanat of photography, we can only understand it. The point I was going back to is that in these days it's not that idol worship is over. There was one business person that I know of in the Midlands that he had a big photograph there of his peer. And every day that he opens his shop, first of all he goes and stands in front of that photograph and thereafter prays, and then he moves out and opens his business. So this is not that it was in those days and it is gone. Go to Iran today. They've got a photograph of Ayatollah Khomeini in their pockets. They've got it in the masjid, they've got it in the pulpit, they've got it on the graveyard. Anywhere that you go on their placards, everywhere it's Khomeini, 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 and photographs of Khomeini. What is this? Is this not that same idol worship that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was prohibiting? Brothers, I'm telling you this with sincerity. Believe me or not, I am not despising or I'm not looking down on anybody. I do not regard myself as superior to anybody. But it's hurting me. I feel that we all should try and change our way of life or at least make some change. What will it cost us if we destroy these photographs that we have? It's not going to cost us anything, but it's going to bless us abundantly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's angels of rahmat will come. And then in the same hadith it is mentioned, and also that person who has got a dog. A dog is permissible for security purposes, it is permissible for hunting purposes. But to keep it merely as a pet, that is not permissible. So this, in such a home also, the angels of rahmat will not enter. One person told one Maulana, he said, well, if the angels are not going to enter such a home in which there is a dog, so then I'll make sure I keep one dog in my house, so that I won't die after that, because the angel of death won't come. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. He said, well, since the angels don't enter a home in which there is a dog, so I will keep a dog in the house, so that I won't die after that. So Maulana gave him a nice reply. He said, well, the dog also will die someday, so the angel that will take the life of the dog will take your life. So we must remember that these hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they are for our own good, for our own benefit. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wants us to take the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask forgiveness for our sins. So this blessed night, the Quran was revealed. I will just mention one or two things about the Quran and terminate the talk and leave you the opportunity to go and engage yourself in ibadat, zikr and tilawat. Remember this Quran, that is our guide. The Quran was not revealed solely for the purpose of sawab. Definitely Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that man qara harfan min al-Quran, whoever reads one word, one letter of the Holy Quran, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him one blessing. And one blessing after that is increased at 10 times. And I do not say that alif lam mim is one word. Alifun harfun, wa lamun harfun, wa mimun harfun. Alif is one, lam is two, and mim is three. All these are separate letters. And for each one you get 10 blessings. So that means just to read alif lam mim, you get 30 blessings. The Quran is one thing, if you read it this blessing, if you try to understand it this blessing, if you try to practice on it this blessing, if you propagate it this blessing, if you write it this blessing, and if you learn it this blessing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's angels also have not been blessed with the recitation of the Holy Quran. That is why you find in so many hadiths that when a group gets together into the masjid to recite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Quran and to teach it to others, then the angels descend. They cover them up with rahmat, and with Allah's rahmat covers them up. Sakina, or peace of mind, descends upon them, and the angels cover them up. So these angels come down to listen to the Quran. There are in hadiths that angels come down to listen to our Quran when it is recited in the namaz, and then they also say Ameen when Walad Dallin is said. So this recitation of the Quran, because Quran is the word of Allah. The other Anbiyas were given books. If you write to somebody from here to Johannesburg, that is a book, that is a letter, they can read it. But one is you speak to the person over the phone. So these are actually words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has come onto the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and therefore when we are reading it, Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi in his Ahya'ul Ulum, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that shame on you, O believer, if some friend of yours has to write to you from a distant land and you receive that letter of his whilst walking on the street, then you will stop same place, you will read that letter over and over, because you have received the letter after a long time, so you are so thrilled, you are so excited that you stop same place, and you are so happy, you are so overjoyed, and that you read the letter over and over. But shame on you that my kalam, my Quran, which has been revealed to you, which are my words directly to you, For that you have got no time, and you have got no time to reflect and ponder. Then he says that if one of your friends is talking to you, a dear beloved friend, then you don't like anybody else to even disturb you. If somebody else come in between, you tell him, stop, I'm talking to my friend. And you want to listen to him very, very carefully. You do not want to miss any part of his conversation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then this, I am your friend. I have revealed this Quran to you. I am talking to you. And when my Quran is recited, you have got no time. You have got no interest in it. You do not concentrate. There's no sincerity, no devotion. Then isn't that a shame? So this is the Holy Quran which was revealed for the guidance of mankind. In it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared everything that is good for the ummah and everything that is bad for the ummah, everything that will raise us to high and lofty position, and everything that will bring us crashing down to the ground, that is in the Quran. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yarfa'u bihadha al-kitab aqwaman wa yada'u bihi akharin, that it is by means of this kitab that Allah ta'ala gave lofty positions and he raised some nations. And it is by means of the same kitab that Allah Ta'ala will bring down and humiliate and bring them right down. That is, those who will practice on the Quran, Allah Ta'ala will give them lofty position, superiority. He will give them government. He will give them peace of mind. He will give them contentment of the heart. He will give them unity. He will save them from all disputes and faction fights and all the rest of it. There will be contentment. And those people who are not going to practice, then they will suffer all the problems and difficulties and hardships. So it is this Quran which has to be learned. It is this Quran which has to be recited. It is this Quran which has to be taught. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَقَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. The best of you is he who learns the Quran and then teaches it. And in one hadith it is, أَوْ عَلَّمَ, that either he just learns it, or he teaches it, or he learns and teaches it, whatever way. But that those are the best of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are the best. Why are they the best? Because if they are going to teach you the Quran, that this is what the Quran says, then it means that community will be practiced on that Quran, they will be raised to high and lofty positions. Here I am reminded, it just came to mind, of Mahir al-Qadiri's famous Quran ki faryad. I remember a few lines from there, in which he says, taqon mein sajaya jata hoon, aankhon se lagaya jata hoon, ताकों में सजाया जाता हूँ, आँखों से लगाया जाता हूँ, तावीज़े बनाया जाता हूँ, दो दो के पिलाया जाता हूँ, तावीज़े बनाया जाता हूँ, दो दो के पिलाया जाता हूँ, जुजदान हरीर रेशम के और फूल सितारे चांदी के, फिर इत्र की बारिश होती है, खुशबू में बसाया जाता हूँ, जुजदान हरीर रेशम के और फूल सितारे चांदी के, फिर इत्र की बारिश होती है, खुशबू में बसाया जाता हूँ, जिस तरह के तोता मीना को कुछ बोल सिखाए जाते हैं, इस तरह सिखाया जाता हूँ, इस तरह पढ़ाया जाता हूँ, जिस तरह के तोता मीना को कुछ बोल सिखाए जाते हैं, इस तरह सिखाया जाता हूँ, इस तरह पढ़ाया जाता हूँ, किस बज्म में मेरी धूम नहीं, किस उर्स में मेरी बार नहीं, किस बज्म में मेरी धूम नहीं, किस उर्स में मेरी बार नहीं, फिर भी मैं अकेला रहता हूँ, मुझसा भी कोई मजलूम नहीं, फिर भी मैं अकेला रहता हूँ, मुझसा भी कोई मजलूम नहीं, जब कौल कसम लेने के लिए तकरार की नौबत आती है, जब कौल कसम लेने के लिए तकरार की नौबत आती है, तब मेरी जरूरत पड़ती है, हाथों पे उठाया जाता हूँ। दिल सोज से खाली रहते हैं, आंखें हैं कि नम होती नहीं। दिल सोज से खाली रहते हैं, आंखें हैं कि नम होती नहीं। एक बार हंसाया जाता हूँ, 100 बार रुलाया जाता हूँ। ये मुझसे अकीदत के दावे, कानून पे राजी गैरों के। ये मुझसे अकीदत के दावे, कानून पे राजी गैरों के। यूं भी मुझे रुसवा करते हैं, ऐसे भी सताया जाता हूँ। इसे ताकों में सजाया जाता हूँ, आंखों से लगाया जाता हूँ। आई एम डिस्प्लेड ऑन द शेल्फ्स, हाई शेल्फ्स। इट मस्ट बी अ नाइस हाई शेल्फ सो दैट नोबडी कैन रीच इट। एंड देन आंखों से लगाया जाता हूँ, इट विल बी टेकन फ्रॉम देयर एंड पुट ऑन आवर आईज फॉर बरकत। तावीज़े बनाया जाता हूँ, तावीज़ विल बी मेड। तावीज़े बनाया जाता हूँ, धो धो के पिलाया जाता हूँ। इट विल बी रिटन ऑन पेपर एंड दैट आमिल साहब विल से वॉश इट प्रॉपरली इन दैट वाटर एंड देन ड्रिंक दैट वाटर। तो तावीज़े बनाया जाता हूँ, धो धो के पिलाया जाता हूँ। जुज़दान हरीर और रेशम के, द जुज़दान एंड द कवर्स विल बी ऑफ सिल्क क्लॉथ, हरीर और रेशम के। और फूल सितारे चांदी के, एंड ऑन दैट कवर ऑल्सो देयर विल बी सच डेकोरेशन ऑफ लवली फ्लावर्स एंड स्टार्स। फूल सितारे चांदी के, फिर इत्र की बारिश होती है, खुशबू में बसाया जाता हूँ। एंड देन वन होल बॉटल ऑफ इत्र ऑल्सो विल बी पोर्ड ऑन टू दैट कुरान शरीफ फॉर बरकत एंड फॉर सवाब। नो डाउट इट मस्ट बी केप्ट ऑन अ हाई पोजिशन। नो डाउट द जुज़दान एंड कवर ऑल्सो मस्ट बी गुड। वी वेयर गुड क्लोथ्स, वी मस्ट कवर अवर कुरान शरीफ ऑल्सो प्रॉपरली। नो डाउट इत्र एंड खुशबू मस्ट बी पुट ऑन टू दैट कुरान। No doubt it is permissible to use it for tawiz, and it is permissible to blow, read the Quran and blow in water and drink it. But it was not revealed for this. This is what he's trying to get at. It was not revealed for this purposes. You do it. But that was not the only object of having a Quran in the home. Juzdan harir o resham ke aur phool sitare chandi ke, phir itr ki barish hoti hai, khushboo mein basaya jata hoon. Kis bazm mein meri dhoom nahi, kis urs mein meri bar nahi. Any function, any conference, any seminar, any function that we have, we will say, first of all, it must start with the qiraat. Wonderful, have it with the qiraat, there's no problem. So he says that in which bazm there's no doom of mine, that people are not talking of the Quran, definitely. But he says that after that, ek bar hasaya jata hun, 100 bar rulaya jata. Kis bazm mein meri doom nahi, kis urs mein meri bar nahi, phir bhi main akela rehta hun, mujhsa bhi koi mazloom nahi. But it is only for that occasion, after the person has recited the qiraat, and that is the end, the Quran is put back onto the shelf, and there's no more any sign of that Quran. Khatam is over, and that is the end of the Quran. So he says, this was not the object of the revelation of the Holy Quran. Then he says that the children also are taught in such a manner, just as we teach the parrots. There's no doubt that the children that come to the madrasas, it is a great blessing that at least they learn that little bit to read the Quran. Otherwise, that limited time in which they come, and after all the problems that we have in madrasas of congestion and unqualified staff and all the rest of it, that little learning too is a blessing. So that at least when we leave this world, they'll be able to read some Quran and send us some sawab. Otherwise even that will be non-existent. So here he says that this is how they are taught the Quran. They say, you are claiming that you have got love for me. You are claiming that I am your code of life and I am your code of conduct. You are claiming that your success depends on following my instructions and directions and living the life of the Quran. But this is just a claim, it is just a dawah. After that, if you look into your life, you will find that you are pleased with all the laws implemented by all other governments of the world, but you are not happy with the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Holy Quran. So in this way, he describes the Quran ki faryad, that it is a complaint of the Holy Quran. So brothers, we must not make the Quran like that. If that is going to be our condition, then the next Ramadan we'll wait until then to recite the Holy Quran. So the point I was trying to bring about is that the Quran, various hadiths of Rasulullah Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, learn the Quran. But the problem is that when we open the Quran, we normally open a translation of the Quran. And translations are many a time a product of the person's mind. And here it is where people go astray. That if that translation is not a correct one, if that commentary is not a correct commentary, if that commentary is the product of a person's mind, who has been influenced by other sources and by other un-Islamic literature, etc., then if we open that type of Quran and we begin to read, then there is a possibility that instead of getting hidayat, as Allah Ta'ala says himself in the Holy Quran, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا, that by means of the same Quran, Allah Ta'ala give guidance to many people, and Allah Ta'ala misleads many people. So therefore, we must not just take any commentary or any sort of translation and begin to say that now Mawlana Sahib has said we must read the Quran and learn it and understand it, so we will become alims on our own and we will begin to learn it. No, we must open an authentic commentary, find out from the learned that which is an authentic commentary, then read all the ayats which relate to all the nations of the past, the causes of their rise and the decline, and all the philosophy that is involved in there, and all the prohibitions and permissions, and all that the moral aspects of a person's life. There's so much in there. Read all those ayats. But when it comes to masail, when it comes to interpretation of verses, then there you stop dead. And you say, well, this is not our department, that we leave it to the learner to decide. Then there's no problem. So this is the danger that the ulamas normally stop from. Otherwise, if anybody says that we stop you totally from reading the Quran, understanding the Quran, how can it be? It was revealed for understanding and practice. So we come back to this point that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has said that these people who will learn the Quran and practice on it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them in this manner. There are so many other hadiths as far as the significance of the recitation of the Holy Quran is concerned, the propagating of the Holy Quran is concerned, the writing of the Holy Quran is concerned, the teaching of the Holy Quran is concerned. And I conclude on one hadith which I have mentioned on many occasions here, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said, لا حسد إلا على إثنين رجل آتاه الله القرآن فهو يقوم به آناء الليل وآناء النهار ورجل آتاه الله مالا فهو ينفق منه آناء الليل وآناء النهار. That there is no such thing as jealousy in Islam. Jealousy is not permitted. But what we term as ghibta, that you have this envy at heart that, Ya Allah, just as you have blessed this person, he is doing so much of good deeds, he is doing so much of charitable works, he is so kind, he is so gentle, he is so humble, and he is so pleasant. Oh Allah, give us also that type of akhlaq and that type of character. So this type of desire is a good desire. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if jealousy was permissible, or envy is only permitted for two types of things, and that is that that person who is engaged in the Quran day and night, he is writing the Quran, reading the Quran, teaching the Quran, propagating the Quran, publishing the Quran, all this type of activity, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam once said that a sahabi will pass here just now who is from the inmates of Jannat. He will go to Jannat. He gave him the glad tiding. One sahabi came past and he had shoes in his hand and there was the effect of wuzu water on his face. A simple sahabi, in one kitab it is related to Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala. The next day Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the same thing, that a sahabi will soon pass here, a person will pass and he's from Jannat. So again it was the same person, he had shoes in his hand, he had the effect of wuzu water on his face and he passed. The third day again the same thing happened, the same person passed. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he became very interested. Because the sahabas, they are very interested. Like if somebody has to tell us that Oppenheimer will give us his secrets, how he became such a rich person. But the condition is you spend one night with him at his residence and he will show you all the secrets of how to become another Oppenheimer. All of us will leave Durban and we will fly overnight there. So here this sahabis were interested on how can we attain success, how can we get the blessings of Allah. So he told this sahabi, he said, Rasulullah mentioned this. No, he didn't tell him that. He said, I've got some problem at home and I want to spend three nights with you, if you can give me the opportunity. So the sahabi said, yes, if you've got a problem, you can come and stay with me three nights, no problem. So he spent the three nights there. So he says in the late part of the night, he was watching, what does he do special that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying is going to Jannat. But he found him not doing anything special. He made his Isha namaz, then he made a few light rakats of Nafil namaz, and then he went to bed, and then he got up for Fajr. In the night, whenever he got up, he made some zikr. And he never heard, he says, I didn't hear him speak evil of anybody. That was one thing. I never heard him speak evil of anybody. And this is what he used to do at night. He never made much ibadat. He used to sleep away. And he got up for Fajr. So he says, I told him that, look, I had come here for 3 days to find out really what were you doing that pleased Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and Allah so much that you are promised Jannat. So he says, nothing. I'm doing the same thing what you all are doing. He says, no, there must be something special in your life. So after much pondering and reflecting, he says, well, other things are all the same what you do. But there is one thing, that if Allah Ta'ala blesses somebody with some ni'mat, Allah gives somebody some property or some riches or some wealth or something like that, I have no jealousy at heart. I make dua, it's good for him, Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with it, it is his luck, and I have no jealousy at heart. And the second thing is that I don't sleep having any malice in my heart about any person. Now what a great sifat this is, that he sleeps without having any malice at heart, no ill feelings against any Muslim brother. The only person that you are permitted to break your relationship and contact with is for the sake of deen. It can be your father, can be your brother, can be anybody. But if he is going on a wrong track and you explain him, you can try to convince him, you say this is Quran, this is Sunnah and all that, and he says to hell with you, I'm not interested, then it is permissible for you to break off your contact and relationship with such a person and you don't talk to him, that is no, that Allah won't punish you. But to break off relationship and contact just for material things, why you didn't attend my wedding party, why you didn't come to my engagement, why you didn't come to my grandfather's fourth wedding, and why did you attend this, and so all these type of things are things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. We must not break off our relationship and contact with people, with brothers, for material things, for worldly things. Yes, negotiate, come to settlement, ask for your rights, but the talking terms must not be severe. Otherwise Allah ta'ala does not accept the du'as of such people even on this blessed night of Laylatul Qadr. All read the Durood Sharif 3 times and we make du'a. So this blessing also is a very great thing. If it had not been for blessing, then all our mothers, sisters and children, or those people who don't understand the Quran, they would have said, why must we read the Quran? We get nothing by reading the Quran if we don't understand, so we're not going to read the Quran. If that was the case, the Tarawis would have disappeared, there would have been no namazes taking place. Allah Ta'ala knew in His wisdom that this was one way of preserving the Holy Quran. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. So this was one way of preservation. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that even if you read without understanding, you will definitely get sawab. And sawab also is the currency of the hereafter. We will need it when we leave this world. And as a result, we should read as much of the Quran as possible, even if we don't understand. But we must realize that the Quran was not revealed to get sawab only. Otherwise, for sawab, you build a masjid, you get sawab. You care for the widows, orphans and destitutes, you get sawab. Or you say a good word to somebody, you get sawab. And you are good and kind to your parents, you get sawab. There were so many other things for sawab. The Quran was not revealed solely for sawab. The Quran was revealed so that we understand it and so that we practice upon it. Tadabbur and tafakkur, to ponder, to reflect over the ayats of the Holy Quran. There are so many ayats relating to every aspect of our life, and we must ponder over this. We must try and find time to sit in groups to learn and study the Holy Quran, because if we are not going to learn the Holy Quran, then we will not be able to understand what does Allah Ta'ala expect of us. So the Quran was definitely revealed to be understood and to be put into practice. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that man qara al-Quran, the person who recites the Holy Quran, fastazharahu, and then he by hearts it, فَأَحَلَّ حَلَالَهُ وَحَرَّمَ حَرَامَهُ, and then he regards whatever Allah Ta'ala has made halal in the Quran as halal, and whatever Allah Ta'ala has declared as haram, he recognizes it as haram. That is very important. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ, Allah Ta'ala will enter him into Jannah, and Allah Ta'ala will accept his intercession on behalf of 10 family members of his who were already supposed to go to hell because of their evil doings. But on the account of this person's learning the Quran, practicing it on it, regarding the halal as halal and haram as haram, Allah Ta'ala blesses these 10 people also from his family. In one hadith it is mentioned that that person who learns the Holy Quran, or the parents of this person who has bi-hearted the Quran, but the condition there is again, وَعَمِلَ بِهَا وَعَمِلَ بِمَا فِي, and he practices on that which is in the Quran. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that a time will come, there will be a lot of munafiq qaris. There will be a lot of munafiq qaris, means that they will read very beautiful, but in their life you will find no Islam. The only thing you will find is qiraat. That the qiraat will be so beautiful that everybody will shake their head. But if you have to look at their life, then that qari sahab after that will be found in so many places where no Muslim should even go near to. So these are the munafiq qaris that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam refers to. So here the condition is, وَعَمِلَ بِمَا فِي, that he learns by heart the Quran and he practices on what is in the Quran. Then Allah Ta'ala will give his parents a crown of noor, the shine of which will be more than if the sun had come down into the house of somebody. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ilah al-Alami, Ramzan ka mubarak mahina khatam ke qareeb aa gaya. غفلتوں کے اندر ہم نے اس کے دن بھی گزار دیے اور راتیں بھی گزار دیں. الہ العالمین, رمضان مبارک کا مہینہ گزرتا چلا گیا, ہم نے اس کی کوئی قدر نہیں کی. تیرے پیارے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم معصوم ہوتے ہوئے رات رات بھر جاگتے ہیں. الہ العالمین, ان کے قدموں کے اوپر ورم چڑھ جاتے ہیں. لیکن وہ کھڑے رہتے ہیں اور کہتے ہیں افلا اکون عبدن شکورا, الہ العالمین تو نے ہمیں اس عظیم نعمت سے نوازا لیکن ہم نے کوئی قدر نہیں کی, ہماری زندگی وہی غفلت کے اندر گزرتی رہی, نہ ہم نے اپنی صورت نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کے متعلق بناوی اور نہ ہم نے اپنی سیرت کو درست کیا, نہ ہم نے اپنے اخلاق کو درست کیا, نہ ہم اپنے گناہوں سے سچی طرح سے نادم اور توبہ کیے. الہ العالمین جس طرح غفلت کے اندر رمضان سے پہلے ہماری زندگی گزرتی تھی رمضان میں بھی گزرتی رہی, اس جرم عظیم کو تو معاف فرما, اس جرم عظیم کو تو معاف فرما. الہ العالمین قرآن مجید کو تو نے نازل کیا تھا ہدایت کے لیے, الہ العالمین یہ ہدایت کی چیز تھی, اس کے اوپر عمل کر کے ہم کامیاب ہو سکتے تھے, نہ تو ہم نے اس کو پڑھنے کی کوشش کی, نہ سمجھنے کی کوشش کی اور نہ عمل کرنے کی کوشش کی. الہ العالمین اس جرم عظیم کو تو معاف فرما. الہ العالمین قرآن مجید کے ذریعے سے تو اقوام کو بلندی عطا فرماتا ہے اور قرآن مجید ہی کے ذریعے سے تو اقوام کو پستی دیتا ہے. الہ العالمین سارے عالم کے اندر آج جو عذاب کے اندر امت مبتلا ہے وہ اسی وجہ سے ہے کہ ہم قرآن کو چھوڑ چکے ہیں, قرآن کی تعلیمات کو بھول چکے ہیں, قرآن پر عمل کرنا اور سوچنا اور سمجھنا چھوڑ چکے ہیں. الہ العالمین ہماری زندگی جو گزر چکی وہ تو گزر چکی, ہم تیرے سامنے ہاتھ پھیلائے ہوئے ہیں, اس مبارک رات کے اندر تو ہمیں معاف کر دے. الہ العالمین تو معاف کر دے, الہ العالمین تو معاف کر دے. الہ العالمین اگر تو نے معاف نہیں کیا تو ہم کہاں جائیں گے, تیرا در چھوڑ کر کے ہم کہاں جائیں گے, تیرا گھر چھوڑ کر کے ہم کہاں جائیں گے, سب کچھ تیرے قبضے کے اندر ہے. الہ العالمین صحت کے خزانے تیرے قبضے میں ہیں, عافیت کے خزانے تیرے قبضے میں ہیں, مال و دولت کے خزانے تیرے قبضے میں ہیں, عزت اور عافیت کے خزانے تیرے قبضے میں ہیں. الہ العالمین اگر ہم تجھ سے طلب نہیں کریں گے تو ہم کہاں جائیں گے. الہ العالمین تو نے ہمیں منع کیا ہے کہ بتوں کے سامنے سجدہ مت کرو, تو نے ہم نے منع کیا ہے کہ اپنے ہاتھ کو کسی اور کے سامنے مت پھیلاؤ. الہ العالمین ہم تو تیرے سامنے پھیلائے ہوئے ہیں اور تجھ ہی سے طلب کر رہے ہیں, تو نے خود کہا ہے کہ ہے کوئی معافی مانگنے والا میں اس کو معاف کر دوں, ہم تجھ سے طلب کرتے ہیں کہ تو ہمیں معاف کر دے. الہ العالمین جتنے گناہ ہو گئے معاف کر دے, صغیرہ گناہ ہو یا کبیرہ گناہ ہو, عمدن ہو یا خطاً ہو, دن کے اجالے میں ہو رات کے اندھیروں میں ہو, الہ العالمین ہر ہر گناہ کو تو معاف کر دے, ہمیں پاک اور صاف کر دے. الہ العالمین آج کی رات تو ہم سچی توبہ کرتے ہیں کہ آئندہ ہم اس قسم کے گناہوں کے اندر مبتلا نہیں ہوں گے. الہ العالمین جو حقوق کا مسئلہ ہے تو ہمیں توفیق ادا فرما کہ جس کا حق ہم نے دبایا ہو اس کو ہم واپس لوٹا دے. الہ العالمین ہر حق والوں کو اس کا حق ہم پہنچا دے. الہ العالمین لیکن جو دوسرے گناہ ہم سے ہو گئے, نماز روزہ زکوٰۃ حج جو قضا ہو گئی, الہ العالمین قضا پڑھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما, قضا ادا کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین گناہ ہر قسم کا جو ہو تو ہمیں پوری پوری ہماری حفاظت فرما, چغل خوریوں سے حفاظت فرما, زنا چوری سے غیبت سے, الہ العالمین عداوتوں سے, بغض سے, کینہ سے, حسد سے, کبر سے, ان تمام خرافات سے تو ہماری پوری پوری حفاظت فرما. اللہم صلی علی سیدنا محمد وعلی آل سیدنا محمد مبارک وسلم.